The story of Mohandas Gandhi isn't merely a historical account. It's a spiritual odyssey that has inspired millions worldwide. Born in 1869 to a family of the merchant Banya caste in Porbandar, young Mohandas was painfully shy and academically mediocre. Two childhood experiences profoundly shaped his moral compass. Reading about Shravana's devotion to his parents and watching a play about King Harishchandra's unwavering commitment to truth. These stories moved him deeply, planting seeds that would later blossom into his life's philosophy. At 13, Gandhi was married to Kasturbai in a traditional arrangement, beginning a relationship that would evolve from jealousy and control to deep partnership. What makes Gandhi's story so compelling is not that he was born extraordinary, but that he made himself so through relentless self-examination and principled action, transforming from a shy, ordinary lawyer into the spiritual and political force who would lead India to independence. At 15, Gandhi committed a theft, cutting gold from his brother's armlet to pay a debt. Consumed by guilt, he confessed in writing to his bedridden father, who responded with tears and forgiveness rather than punishment. This moment profoundly shaped Gandhi's understanding of love and redemption. While caring for his father during a serious illness, 16-year-old Gandhi faced what he called his double shame. One night, distracted by desire for his pregnant wife, he left his nursing duties when his uncle offered relief. His father died minutes later, a failure that haunted Gandhi throughout his life. As a law student in London, Gandhi initially wasted resources trying to become an English gentleman through fashion, dancing, and violin lessons. He soon abandoned these superficial pursuits, channeling his energy instead toward meaningful commitments like vegetarianism, a practice that would become fundamental to his philosophy of self-discipline and nonviolence. In 1893, Gandhi's work in South Africa exposed him to racial discrimination that would shape his philosophy. His journey to Pretoria brought stark confrontations with injustice. At Maritzburg, he was forcibly ejected from a first-class train compartment despite having a valid ticket. Alone in an unlit waiting room during winter, he wrestled with whether to fight for his rights, return to India, or endure the humiliation. At Partakof, a stagecoach leader demanded Gandhi sit on dirty sackcloth at his feet. When Gandhi refused, the man beat him and tried dragging him down. Gandhi held on to the brass rails until other passengers intervened in his defense. These experiences crystallized Gandhi's understanding of racial injustice. He responded by organizing the Natal Indian Congress in 1894, combining political activism with personal service. During a plague outbreak near Johannesburg, he nursed the sick, cleaned latrines, and led sanitation efforts, exemplifying his belief that true leadership emerges from selfless service rather than position. The pivotal moment in Gandhi's development came in 1906 when the Transvaal government's Black Act required all Indians to register and provide fingerprints. This sparked Gandhi's first organized resistance campaign, which evolved from passive resistance to Satyagraha, truth force. Gandhi's revolutionary approach emphasized respecting opponents while firmly refusing to comply with unjust laws. He encouraged followers to accept imprisonment willingly, a strategy that bewildered authorities accustomed to either violence or submission. During this period, Gandhi established two communal experiments, Phoenix Settlement near Durban and Tolstoy Farm near Johannesburg. These communities became laboratories for his philosophy, combining manual labor, simple living, and spiritual practice. Residents grew their own food, built homes, and at Phoenix, published Indian Opinion. His personal transformation intensified in 1906 when he took a vow of celibacy, believing procreation conflicted with public service. His spiritual journey included strict dietary experiments, adopting fruit-based meals and eliminating salt, pulses, and dairy as disciplines for purifying body and mind. Returning to India in 1915 after 21 years in South Africa, Gandhi established the Satyagraha Ashram in Ahmedabad. He immediately demonstrated his principles by accepting an untouchable family, choosing equality over financial security when supporters withdrew their funding in protest. His first major Indian satyagraha occurred in Champaran, 1917, where he challenged indigo planters who exploited local tenants. When arrested for investigating complaints, Gandhi's peaceful acceptance of punishment while maintaining respect for authorities led them to withdraw the case. The subsequent inquiry ended the exploitative system. Gandhi revived hand spinning by discovering abandoned spinning wheels in Vijapur and convincing villagers to resume the craft. By purchasing their yarn and providing cotton, he established what would become both a cornerstone of his economic program and a symbol of Indian self-reliance. By 1920, Gandhi had emerged as a national leader, combining the Khilafat movement with his non-cooperation campaign. He maintained his simple lifestyle, traveling third class on trains and experiencing common hardships, demonstrating that independence required personal transformation alongside political action. Gandhi viewed politics as an extension of his spiritual quest for truth. "Politics became unavoidable in my devotion to truth," he maintained, rejecting any separation between religion and political action. His understanding of truth transcended mere honesty to become a spiritual principle, declaring, "There is no God but truth." This philosophy demanded ahimsa, nonviolence, active love that extended even to opponents. During the Punjab investigations following the Jallianwala Bagh massacre, he demonstrated this by refusing to vilify British officials despite their actions. Though Hindu, Gandhi studied multiple faiths deeply, finding universal truths in each. The Bhagavad Gita served as his dictionary of daily reference, while his interfaith prayer meetings showcased practical religious harmony amid sectarian tensions. His ashrams manifested these principles through communal living, practicing radical equality by having all members share tasks regardless of caste. Daily life revolved around prayer, spinning khadi, farming, and service, creating a model of self-sufficient living that challenged both British imperialism and Indian social hierarchies. Gandhi concludes his autobiography in 1921, during a pivotal moment in the independence struggle. His final words capture his spiritual core: "I must reduce myself to zero. For without placing oneself last among fellow creatures, there is no salvation. Ahimsa represents the farthest limit of humility." What distinguishes this autobiography is its radical honesty. Unlike leaders who present curated versions of themselves, Gandhi deliberately exposes his flaws and failures. Through this candid self-revelation, we witness the metamorphosis of an ordinary man into a moral giant. His journey shows that moral leadership requires not extraordinary beginnings, but an unwavering commitment to growth and service. Each mistake becomes a stepping stone toward greater understanding. In a world still plagued by violence, Gandhi's experiments with truth offer both inspiration and practical guidance for transformation. The autobiography's unfinished nature embodies Gandhi's philosophy that the pursuit of truth is a continuous journey. His legacy influences social justice movements worldwide, proving his experiments were universal in impact. The most powerful lesson remains that transformation begins within. The path to changing the world starts with changing ourselves.